All right, how are you guys? Good. I'm so glad to hear that. My name is Pete. I'm one of the pastors here at Cross Point, and we're so glad you guys are here tonight. Glad that those of you that are watching online are with us as well. If you have a Bible, if you'll turn to the book of Psalms, Psalm 16, that's my favorite book to turn to because, like, it's the easiest because it's, watch this, it's almost always just right in the middle. That didn't work. That's Proverbs. Right there. Okay, Psalms. So that's like, it's. I get nervous. It's interesting. Like when I'm out somewhere, or maybe visiting another church or something, or especially if I'm in a small group of people and somebody's like, hey, Pete, like turn to the book of James. I'm like, oh, like I know where James is, but in the moment, I just kind of freak out a little bit. And so I want you to know that it's okay if you freak out over that too. But Psalms is easy. It's like right Dadgummit, Proverbs. It's right there, okay? And so Psalms chapter 16, we'll get there in just a minute. We've been in a series called Wide Awake, and we're talking about this idea of just kind of opening, this sounds like a weird word, but kind of opening your spiritual eyes to see the presence of God in your life. There's a quote that I showed you guys last week. It's from Elizabeth Browning is her name, and this is a quote. I read it out of her book. It says, "Earth is crammed with heaven, and every common bush of fire with God, but only he who sees takes off his shoes." Now, this was this quote's kind of a nod to a story. We talked about it last week out of the Old Testament where Moses is kind of walking along one day in the wilderness, and there is a bush that's on fire, all right, but it's not burning up. And God calls to Moses out of the bush, and he says, hey, Moses, you're standing on holy ground, like take off your shoes, right? And then God has this conversation with him. It's a really kind of cool moment. If you're not familiar with the story, you should read it sometime in Exodus. But that's what that quote's kind of talking about. It's talking about the reality that God's presence is all around us. And there's lots of ways that I believe God's communicating to us. And we miss it because sometimes maybe just the busyness or we're distracted or we don't even know that it's there. We're not looking for it. And so last week we talked about this idea of what if this year was different? Not so much because like we got the job we wanted or we lost the weight we wanted to or we started to exercise, but that this year was different because we started to live wide awake. And I talked about this goal. And the goal was this: how many moments in my life can I fill with the conscious awareness of God's presence? Right, this idea of how many moments, like through the course of my day, can I just be reminded, right, the conscious awareness of the presence of God? And this is a little different, like maybe some of you set a goal this year that, you know, you wanted to read the Bible every day or a chapter every day, and that's an awesome goal. But this is a little different, all right? Because I'm not so much talking about you connecting with God in a worship service or you connecting with God in maybe your 10-minute quiet time in the morning. I'm talking about how do you stay connected to him all day long, right? So when you're in the car driving to work and when you're in your cubicle or when you're walking across campus to a class, you know, when you're out on a date Friday night, like when you're trying to parent your kids, like how do we stay connected to God from moment to moment to moment? Because that's kind of the idea that Scripture talks about. John 15 was another passage we looked at last week. This one's not in your outline, but it's where Jesus says, I'm the vine and you're the branches. And if man remains in me and I in him, he's going to bear much fruit. But apart from me, he says, you will do nothing. Right? This idea that Jesus is saying, hey, I'm going to do miraculous things through you. Right? But your job is not to do miraculous things. Your job as a follower of Christ is just to remain in him, just abide, just be with him. And so the whole concept of the series is that there is this God who, yes, he created the universe. Yes, he sent his son Jesus down on a cross for you. And he's also the same God who wants to be with you. And not just on Sundays, right? He wants to be with you. He wants to do life with you. And it's really your choice. Are you going to do life with God or without him? And honestly, there's a lot of different ways that we can approach God. And so let me show you this graphic. This kind of maybe a little visual that might stick with you. You can jot it down in your notes. So you've got God, right? And there's several different ways we can approach God. For some of you, maybe you approach God, I call it over God, all right? And so it's not with God, but it's over him. And maybe the best way to explain this is you've heard of atheism, right? Someone who doesn't believe in God. There's also something called deism. And in deism, basically, this is oversimplifying it, but the idea is this, that an individual believes that there's a God, right, that there's a creator, But they don't believe that, God wants to be personally involved, right? They wouldn't believe that God actually helped inspire something that communicates to us, right? They wouldn't believe that there's this God in heaven that sent his son Jesus down on a cross for you. They wouldn't believe that there's a God that wants to be personally involved with you, all right? It's life over God. Like, you kind of control God. You believe he exists, but you don't think he's personally involved with your life in any way, right? Then there's this idea of life from God, all right? And life from God is, this is kind of a, I don't know if this is a fair description, but I kind of think about health and wealth gospel. It's kind of this idea of you kind of view God like a cosmic vending machine, all right? In that you don't want God, you want something from God. So you're not interested in God in any way. You're just interested in maybe what God can give you. This is life from God. And then there's life under God. And life under God is all about legalism. It's all about, the only way I could ever get, God to love me, the only way I could get God to accept me is if I do everything just right. And so you live with kind of this unhealthy fear of God that you're never enough. He's never going to accept you. He's never going to love you. So it's under God, over God, from God. What we're talking about in this series is none of those three approaches. What we're talking about in this series is life with God, right? What is it like to just live life with him? Does God really want to just, the idea we talked about last week is just walk with him, all right? And I believe that he does. And I believe it's a major theme throughout all of Scripture. We looked at lots of them last week, from Genesis to Exodus. We looked at several New Testament scriptures that talk about this idea of God saying, I want to walk with you. I want to do life with you, all right? So what I want to do tonight is, since we kind of set up that idea last week of this with God life, is I want to try to talk on, at the most practical level, what this looks like. And I want to be very honest with you, be upfront with you, and tell you that this topic of living life with God, it's not a practical topic, all right? There's not a lot of steps and 1-2-3s, and those of you that are kind of type A and you kind of like that, there are going to be parts of the series, I believe, that will just frustrate you, all right? Because it's really hard to put this concept in a box, all right? So I'm going to do the best I can. Be patient with me as we try to unpack this and make this as practical as we can. But there's three things on your outline I want you to look at. Number one is this. How do you practice life with God? Because I do think this is something we can practice. It's a habit that we can create, okay? Number one is look for God even in the small moments. Look for God even in the small moments, because here's what I believe about your life. In 2013, right, every moment, even the small ones, are crammed with God's presence. He's there. He's working in your life. You just got to look for it. It's another one of my favorite authors, Frederick Buechner. This is a very longish kind of quote, but I want to read it to you because I feel like he really paints this picture, and maybe you'll go look it up sometime on Google or something. But this is what he says. The question is not whether the things that happen to you are chance things or God things, because of course they are both at once. Like, have you ever had that debate? Like, you're struggling with this idea of, okay, was that a God thing, or is that just a chance thing? Like, was that a coincidence? He says they could be both at once. There's no chance thing through which God cannot speak. Even the walk from the house to the garage that you have walked 10,000 times before, even the moments when you cannot believe that there's a God who speaks at all, anywhere. We cannot live our lives constantly looking back, listening back, lest we be turned to pillars of longing and regret. But to live without listening at all is to live deaf to the fullness of the music. Don't you love that? I love that idea. Sometimes we avoid listening for fear of what we may hear. Sometimes for fear that we may hear nothing at all but the empty rattle of our own feet on the pavement. He says he is with us on our journeys. He says he has been with us since each of our journeys began. Listen for him. Right? It's this idea, right? That I'm going to live wide awake. I'm going to listen for him in my life. I'm going to look for God to move in my life, because even in these small moments, he's there and he's working. And every day, right, is just a collection of moments, right? I think there's 1,440 minutes in every day, right? 1,440 opportunities for you to connect to the presence of God. And so the goal comes back to this idea, right, of how many of those minutes can I live in the conscious awareness of God's presence? Right, that this scripture, Psalm 16, really sets this up. It says, I have set the Lord always before me. Right? I have set the Lord always before me. Now, what does that look like? All right, because we're not talking about I've set the Lord always before me, like I'm going to sit in my room all day long and like, right? That's not, because we have a life, right? And so you're going places and you're going to class and you're going out on dates and you're married or you got kids and job and you have life, right? So how do you set the Lord always before you? What does it look like? And it's the idea here is that God almost becomes this filter for which you look at all of life through. Right, that you kind of view him as you go. And let me tell you why I think this Psalm 16 is so very important, all right? The reason we have to get this, because when I don't have God before me, right, when I'm doing life without God, what begins to happen is I start to think, you know what, if I could just satisfy this temptation, if I could just live out this fantasy, right, if I could just have that thing, right, then I would have life. But what I really want is never that thing. It's never that woman. It's never that man. It's never that drug. It's never that money. It's never that job. It's never that control. What I really want is life, right? What I really want is joy. What I really want is peace. And that's only going to come from a with God life. Okay, that's the problem with sin. That's the problem with temptation, is it'll make all these promises that, hey, if you do this, then you'll have life. But haven't we all learned, right? It's a lie. It does not work. I was made by God. I was made for God. And that's where I'm going to find life. And so I have to find ways that I'm keeping the Lord continually before me. Because if I don't, sin and temptation starts to look really attractive. All right, so how do we do that? Let me share with you, people have been making fun of me all day, but I want to share with you some practical ways that I do this, all right? And this isn't so you can copy this. This is so you can start to look maybe at your life and some of your activities in a different way. I've shared a couple of these before. This is my loofah, all right? Now, this is a manly loofah, all right? I just want to point that out. This has like a handle on it and stuff, all right? So like this is not like a big puffy loofah. This is a man loofah. You can buy this at the man store, all right? And so like one of the first things I do every day is I'm going to hit the shower, all right? Now this may seem really goofy to you guys, but again, this is just like one of the ways I've built this into my life is the idea, right? What do you use this for? You use this to clean, right? And so my thought, when as soon as I grab this loofah in the morning, my first thought is to God's grace. All right, and that's just what I've attached, right, to the concept of this loofah. We sang the worship song earlier tonight. We talked about how he has washed us white as snow, right? And this idea of God's grace. And this is important, right? So the first thing in the morning, I'm thinking about God's grace. Now, I'm not telling you this to try to make you think like I'm some super spiritual person, all right? You're like, holy cow, he even ties a spiritual principle to his loofah, right? No, that's not the point. Look, the point is I am so not spiritual that I have to tie a spiritual truth to my loofah, right? Because here's what I know about me. What I know about me is it's real easy for me to kind of go into my day and go into beast mode and be like 3 or 4 hours into my day before I even think about God. Right? And so I need to be reminded of his grace. You do too, right? There's this temptation for all of us as Christians to think that the cross is just something like you do business at when you become a Christian, and then you kind of move on from that. But the reality is that the cross is the center of our faith, right? Grace isn't something that happens to you once. Grace is like the air that you breathe. You like need this. And so you got to find ways to remind yourself of God's grace. That's just one of the ways that I've done it. I'm keeping the Lord continually before me. Here's another one. This little jar was a sermon illustration. I think it was 6 years ago. This was the exact same label we used that day. And it like had ping pong balls and rice and all kinds of different things in the illustration. But somehow this prop ended up at my house. And then somehow it ended up in my bathroom. It's on the sink. And this one's really goofy, but that sits there on my sink, right? And every single day when I'm done brushing my teeth, I put my toothbrush in there and I'm like, I'm in Christ. Boom, and I'm out of there. Right? And it's just this reminder of this, listen, unbelievable spiritual truth. I'm in Christ. Like, I'm not doing this day on my own, right? I'm not having to do this on my own strength. My life and my toothbrush are in Christ. Right? The whole thing, right? I need these little reminders that are keeping me tied to these spiritual truths. It's one of the ways I'm keeping the Lord continually before me. I'll tell you one I discovered this week. You notice this up here, this hashtag or this pound symbol, wide awake. The creative team kind of came up with this, and the idea was, how many of you are on Twitter? How many of you are on Twitter? Go ahead, raise your hand. You don't have to be embarrassed by that. How many of you have never heard of Twitter? You don't use Twitter at all, right? These are the spiritual people right here, all right? They are way above the rest of us because most of us are wasting a whole lot of time on Twitter, okay? But I didn't even know this really worked this way, but you can hashtag something, right, with this pound symbol, and it's a way for people to kind of track what people are saying. So all week long, people from Crosspoint were Twittering about their wide awake moments. And so somebody would Twitter something like, hey, I just got to spend 30 extra minutes playing with my kids today, and they'd hashtag wide awake. And so I saw these like in my Twitter feed all week long. And every time I saw one, it was this reminder like, oh yeah, live wide awake. Oh yeah, God is present. Yeah, there's all these gifts and there's all these things that he's doing in my life. And it was just, again, it was another moment where I was able to be consciously aware of the presence of God. So I don't know what this looks like for you, but what I do know is you get to make a choice. And your choice is, am I going to do life with God or I'll do life without God? Another example from this week. One day this week, I'm sitting at my desk. I'm getting ready to go into an important meeting. I have to have a difficult conversation, and I'm not looking forward to it. And I love my job, but in this moment, I'm like, I'm having all these doubts. Like, maybe I'm not cut out for this leadership thing, and you know, maybe this isn't for me, and I don't know if I can do this. And I felt like God, I'm just sitting at my desk, and I felt like God was just impressing on me. Hey, Pete. You got a choice to make. You could do these next couple hours with me, or you could do them without me, right? With me or without me. And if you want to do it without me, that's fine. Like, that's great. You can keep being focused on your self-seeking agenda, and you can continue to start, you know, keep thinking about how all this is going to impact you. And you can continue to live in fear and worry, which is a natural byproduct of doing life on your own. Or you could do the next couple hours with me. And you could start by just being thankful that you're alive. And then how about let's be joyful that you even have a job, even though it's going to be difficult the next couple hours. And then why don't we move to I, not you, and then control of the universe. So you can do it with me or you can do it without me. And I was like, well, since you put it that way, I think I'll do it with you. You know, like, you see what I'm saying? With or without. And listen, as soon as I made that choice of saying, God, I'm going to do these next couple hours with you, this huge load just kind of felt like it came off my back. Now, did I still have to have a difficult conversation? Yes, absolutely. But it sure was a lot different doing that with God than doing it without God. All right? Find ways you're going to keep the Lord continually before you. All right, number two, step out in faith. Let me show you another passage, Hebrews 11. Faith is the confidence that what we hope for will actually happen. It gives us assurance about things we cannot see. Through their faith, the people in days of old earned a good reputation. By faith, we understand that the entire universe was formed at God's command, that what we now see did not come from anything that can be seen. Now, you skip down to verse 6. This is really key, right? And it is impossible to please God without, what's the word? Without faith. It's impossible to please God without faith. It's understanding that this idea of faith is not some kind of like add-on to the Christian life, right? It's not. It is what it's about. I'll tell you a great story. It ties in with this. Because here's what I believe. When you step out in faith, it forces you to lean into or depend on God, to live a with God life in a way you wouldn't otherwise, all right? So a couple years ago, there's a young man by the name of Josh. He still goes to Crosspoint. You may have seen this story on video. He's told this story on video for us before. We were going through a season where we were trying to raise money to build the Bellevue campus and launch that campus. It didn't exist yet. And Josh had never been one that to really, he was kind of new in his relationship with God. He'd never like given money before or anything. And so he steps out in faith. And if you remember the story, he pledges $2,000. And he'll admit that like when he did that, he had no clue like where the $2,000 was going to come from, right? And so he does that. Next week he's at work. His boss calls him in the office and says, hey, Josh, I'm going to give you a raise. I'm going to give you $1 an hour raise. Well, Josh does the math, and over the course of that next year, which is what the pledge was for, it turned out to be like $2,063, I think. And, you know, it's just like this really cool moment. Now, I've analyzed that a lot over the years, that particular story, and And I'll be honest and tell you, I don't think that because Josh stepped out in faith and said he was going to give $2,000, that that's why his boss gave him a raise a week later. Now, listen, only God knows, but this is my guess. I don't think that's why he got the raise. I think he got the raise because he worked his butt off. That's what I think. I think he was a good employee and he worked hard, and that's why he got a raise. But had he not stepped out in faith, all he would have received that day was a dollar an hour raise. He'd probably went out that night, celebrated, had a nice dinner, and never thought about it again. Wouldn't even noticed it in his bank account, right? But because he stepped out in faith, what he had was an unbelievable encounter with the God of the universe that he will never forget. It has shaped his life because now he knows that he has a God that's going to meet his needs. You see, that's what happens. When you step out in faith, you lean into God in a way you wouldn't normally. You begin to see God in ways you wouldn't normally see him or hear him in ways you wouldn't normally be able to hear him. So one of the things I'm praying for this church this year, and I'm praying it for every one of you, I'm praying it for those of you who watch online, what I'm praying is that you will trust God, that you will step out in faith, and at least one area of your life that absolutely scares you to death. Right? That absolutely scares you to death, because I know that when you do that, you're going to see God in a way that no sermon, no message could ever teach you. All right? Third one. We got to wrap this up. Number three, don't mislabel your entire life as coincidence. Don't fall into the trap of mislabeling every moment as just a coincidence. Quick history. I grew up in a great church. I'm very thankful for the church I grew up in. I was a very conservative church, and taught me a lot about the Bible and understanding God, and it was incredible. But one of the things that we believed pretty strongly was that God only revealed himself through Scripture. It was the only way, that God didn't currently reveal himself in really any form or fashion to people any longer, just through God's Word. And so when you kind of believe that, then you begin to assign so much of your life. It's just, oh, that was a coincidence, because you don't really think that God's actually trying to still communicate to you in any way. And I still believe, by the way, that the primary way in which God communicates us is God's word. I think it's a full and final authority. But I think that there are a lot of different ways that God can communicate to us in our life. And this concept is, it's really hard to explain. I can't really go to a particular chapter or a particular verse and say, oh, this explains it. One of the closest ones for me is 1 Corinthians. I'm going to just show you this idea. 1 Corinthians 2:9, it says this: no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. And it's this idea that no matter what you see, and no matter what you hear, no matter what you think of, all right, it's not coincidence, because it's all part of a much larger plan that God's in control of. And again, I don't know how all this works, right? I can't really explain this really well. And I know that my explanation of this is not going to be enough for some of you. And you're not going to be able to buy into this, because it's not something that you can see or touch or hear or you know, buy. And so I know this is difficult, but I just want to say to you, I believe this because I've seen it. And I've experienced this in my life. And the way, one of the best ways I feel like I can explain this is I've gotten an opportunity over the last couple of years to do a lot of international travel. And I only speak English. And so I'm at a huge disadvantage when I'm in foreign countries that don't speak English, right? It's a real struggle. And it drives me nuts as a communicator, because there's this barrier, right? But one of the things I've learned is, and this works with kids, all right? I don't think it would probably work real well with adults, but with kids, this works great. I can be walking through a village, all right, in India, and they're kids, and usually they're very kind of scared and timid. And so, like, there'll be like a little kid that's kind of like peering from behind a hut, and they're like looking at you like, you know, who is this white dude? And sometimes they've never even seen a white person, right? And so they're a little freaked out in the moment. And I've noticed, no matter where I am in the world, if I look at a child in the eyes and I wink at them, everything changes in that moment. Like, something just happens to them, and they just kind of smile. It puts peace right in that moment, because it's kind of like communicating, hey, like, I'm fond of you, like, I come in peace, like, it's all going to be okay, like, I'm for you, I'm with you. And they'll usually smile back, or they'll try to wink back or something, right? And it just kind of creates this moment. I remember, it's funny the things that you remember. I was in sixth grade, and I had a teacher I loved. Her name was Miss Hickman. And I struggled through school. I was never a good student. I have a hard time like memorizing stuff and understanding stuff and taking tests. I mean, I eked by every grade all the way through high school, college, seminary, just did like enough, right? And sometimes I didn't even do enough. They just thought I was a nice kid, right? And so I remember once in sixth grade, I'm taking a test and I am bombing it. Like I remember the sweat and like the panic. Like, I don't know. I don't know any of these questions at all. Right? And I remember Miss Hickman, she was walking the aisles. I'm sure she was like looking for someone cheating, which I would have if I'd been smart enough to figure it out, right? And she's walking the aisles and she makes eye contact with me. I think she could see like the panic on my face, and she just winked at me. And it like I just felt like this piece. Now, I flunked that test, all right? It did not help me in that way at all. It did not impart any kind of wisdom on me, but it gave me this peace of like, you know, maybe she was even winking to say, you're going to flunk this. I know you are, right? But we still love you, Pete. Like, so I don't know, but it gave me this peace, like, she's for me, right? She wants me to do well, even if I'm not going to do well. She wants me to do well. Several years ago, there's this guy, his name is Squire Rushnell. He wrote a book called God Winks. I never read the book. But I probably should before I talk about it. But the concept behind the book God Winks was Squire talked about this idea that there's a God who personally wants to communicate to you. And a lot of times there's moments, there's circumstances, there's people that he sends into your life to just kind of communicate, hey, it's okay. Everything's going to be all right. It was this idea, right, that from time to time, it's kind of like God just winks at you. It's just kind of like this assurance that everything is going to be okay. And I do believe, right, that God can work through circumstances and situations and people. I'll give you an idea. This week, I'm on the way to the gym. It's Monday afternoon. I've been working on this message, and so this was all kind of very fresh in my mind, and I'm praying, God, help me to live wide awake. Help me to be conscious to your presence. I get to the end of my subdivision. I realize I don't have my cell phone, and I panicked. Okay? Because like cell phones, like life, it's like air to me, all right? And so 99.9% of the time, I would just make a little U-turn, go back to my house and get my cell phone. But I literally felt like in that moment, God was saying, hey, you know what? I bet you can do the next couple hours without your cell phone. Why don't you just drive to the gym? And how about this time? It's just life with me. Just be with me. And I was like, all right. Right? So turn, you know, the radio off. I spend the next 10 minutes just with God in the car. No huge revelation, no big thing that happened. But you know what? It felt great, right? I can survive without my cell phone, right? So it's just like those little moments. Interesting story. I get to the gym, all right? And there's a guy there by the name of Rick. He's gone to CrossPoint for years and years. Rick's like, hey, I just feel like I need to tell you a story. I'm like, go right ahead. It'll keep me from exercising for a little bit longer. And he tells me this story. He's like, he's a bike rider. He rides bikes. And he was in a race. I don't remember the name of the race, but it's like from Chattanooga to Nashville. And I think he was going up Mont Eagle, if you've ever kind of traveled that way. Not on the interstate, but like on this back road. He says he's going up this hill. He's so tired. He's exhausted. Like, he does not think he is going to be able to make it right up this hill. He's ready to give up. Out of nowhere, he said, there's not a house anywhere to be seen. There's not another bike rider anywhere to be seen. Out of nowhere, running out of a field, is a dog. It's a pit bull, all right, that's running right at him, all right? Now, you're thinking that he just speeds up really fast, but no, that's not what happened. He jumps off the bike, right, and puts the bike between him and the dog, which is, he said, that's what you're supposed to do. And so he's kind of like, you know, guarding himself between him and the pit bull. Well, the pit bull comes around the bike, very nice dog, like he just kind of pets the dog. He gets back on the bike, and that pit bull runs with him all the way to the top of that hill. All right, and then Rick told me this. He said he talked to the God, to the God, dog, God, right? It's a small theological error. He talks to the dog and says, hey, buddy, I'm good. Go on home. He said that dog turned around and ran right back down that hill. Said, now listen, am I saying that God could even use a dog to encourage somebody? Yes. Could he use a cat? No. 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 Even he has some limits, all right? And that's one of them. No, he has no limits. He could use a cat, right? Do you see what I'm saying? Small moments, right? These kind of God winks that maybe he is present. Like, you know, do I know whether, you know, God used that dog to encourage Rick? I don't have a clue, right? But that was a moment for Rick. I'll tell you, sometimes they're large moments. About a year and a half ago, I was on a cruise ship. And this was a very large cruise ship. I don't know how many people are on it. I'm going to say 2,000 people are on this boat, all right? And there's a small Christian conference on this boat. So out of the 2,000 people, very small percentage, maybe 100 people or so are part of this Christian conference. That's why I'm on the boat. I'm speaking at this whole conference. It's a rough life that I live, okay? And so I'm out there suffering for Jesus, and I'm on the boat, and they give you, I don't know if you've ever been on a boat before, on a cruise, but they give you like this little card, and it looks like a credit card, but it's like your room key, but it is like a credit card. You can use it for drinks, meals, whatever, snacks, right? So you have this card. Well, Brandy and I, my wife's with me, we lose our card. Actually, she lost it, but that's a whole other story. And so we started trying to backtrack, and we realized we think we left it at this coffee bar. And so we go back to this coffee bar, and I'm like, excuse me, I think we might have left our card here. And the lady's like, I've got several. What's your name? I said, my name is Pete Wilson. There's another woman standing next to me. I'd say she's like mid-40s. And she looks up at me real fast, and her eyes get huge. And she says, did you say your name was Pete Wilson? I was like, yep. She said, you're Pete Wilson. I said, yes. She said, did you happen to write a book called Plan B? I was like, yeah, I did. Now listen, here's the backstory. It turns out this woman is not a Christian. She's going through a divorce, an ugly divorce. This particular weekend that we're on this cruise ship is the first weekend that she is without her kids, that they're going to be with their father. And so some friends of hers got together, and they said, we want to send you on a cruise so you can just get away, right, and not think about what's going on and how, you know, your marriage is falling apart and your kids are, with, you know. So she's like, okay. And apparently a couple of these women were Christians. And so they also bought her a gift certificate to a Christian bookstore. And they said, on your way to the boat, would you please just stop in this Christian bookstore, buy a couple books, and just read them while you're on the cruise. Who knows? Maybe, you know, God could work through that. So she looks at me. She says, you're not going to believe this. She said, but today I sat by the pool and I read your book, Plan B. Now listen, we are out in the middle of international waters, all right? This is a huge God week moment for me because I'm laying in bed that night and I'm kind of like just tears rolling down my face because just like you guys, sometimes I struggle with God. Are you using my life? Am I doing what you want me to do? Does anything that I do, like, does it matter? Does it count, right? So I'm laying there in bed and I'm crying because like, I'm like, God, yes, it does matter. It does count, right? It does help. And she's hopefully laying in bed with tears running down her face. Unless she is the most hard-headed woman in the world, she's laying there like, holy cow, like there is a God, right? There's a God that somehow orchestrated all this. And, you know, I was at the bookstore and he led me to buy this book. And then I went on a cruise. And out of like the billions of people in the world, I happened to be on the cruise ship at the coffee bar with the idiot who lost his key, right? And we're here and we got to have this conversation. And we talked the next day by the pool and God worked through it in some unbelievable ways. See, sometimes these God week moments they're just huge. Now, again, I know that some of you are like, I just don't know if I buy this. That's okay. All I'm asking you is just think about this. What if God is communicating to you? What if he's communicating to you in some of these nonverbal kind of ways? And a lot of these little things that happen in front of you, they're not just coincidence, okay? They're like these little miracles. Now, you have to be careful. And I would warn you, don't make life-changing decisions based on things that you think are God winks. Don't make decisions that contradict God's word. You can take this whole deal in a really negative way. All right, like for instance, today, I don't know if you've noticed this, it's been years since this has happened, but I don't have my wedding ring on because yesterday I jammed my finger playing basketball. I could barely get it off, but I finally got it off. And I just wasn't able to get it back on. So I didn't even think about it till I got to church today. Now, I could say, whoa, that's like God communicating to me that like maybe I don't need to be married anymore, right? I mean, so you can take this in some really weird ways. And I've heard a lot of people do that. So you can't take this in a way that's contradicting God's word. But what if? Like, what if? It's not coincidence. What if God is speaking to you among the billions of people? Yes, he's speaking to you. And maybe it's just a little message of reassurance or to stop worrying or to keep the faith. Or maybe he's just saying, hey, everything is going to be all right. But listen, I'm praying for you. I'm praying that this year will be different than any other year. not because, you know, you lose weight, although maybe you will, right? Not because this is a year that you get a raise at work, although that would be great. Not because this is a year where you finally meet that special someone, although I hope you do. I'm praying this will be a year that's different than any other year for you because you learn to live wide awake. You begin to just seek, how many moments of the day can I be consciously aware of the presence of God? Let's pray. Dear God, I do pray for your grace because I know that this is a difficult, difficult topic for us to teach on. It's a difficult topic for us to really wrap our minds around because so many of us really desire to make what you've made simple complicated. We have this desire so often to put you in a box so we can control what we think about you or what we believe about you. And this idea of a God who wants to be with us is so outside of our box. It's so outside of the norm for some of us. But God, I pray that you will simplify this for us. And the simple message in all of this is that there is a God, that while he's the creator of the universe, he longs to be with us. He longs to walk with us. And God, what I believe is that so many of us need to wake up. We're so distracted, we're so busy, we're so attached to all these different things around us that we're not living wide awake to the reality that you're present and that you're working in our life. So God, I pray we would just wake up. We'd wake up to your grace that abounds in so many different ways. We would wake up to the fact that you are present in every moment of our life. That we would wake up to the fact that, God, it is possible for us to begin to set you before us in all that we do. That we would wake up at work. We would wake up in our marriage. We would wake up in our dating life. That we would see you, God, working in our life. That we would seek to increasingly become consciously aware of your presence. Moment to moment to moment. For it's in your holy and your precious name that we pray.